The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked. So I guess this thing is a thing now. Wasn't a thing before. I mean, it was a thing. It existed. It just wasn't like a thing we actually paid attention to. Of course, I'm talking about the NFL trade deadline. We talked about this yesterday on the show. It is only within the last 5 years or so that teams have started actually taking this seriously, seeing it as a way that they can make their team better. If we are in contention and we have a glaring need, NFL trade deadline. Hit the waiver wires, essentially, right? You're a fantasy football team. You're close. You got to make sure you make the playoffs, and so you hit the waiver wire. I just wonder, guys, if the Packers are actually a team that is going to utilize the waiver wire. So yesterday, Minnesota becomes the latest team that we care about to go out there and make a trade, acquiring Cam Robinson, a potential replacement for Christian Darrisaw, who we all know got injured and is out, I believe, for the season, right? The ACL, the MCL, that's out for the season.
Yeah, you're not coming back from that.
Well, you know, it's 2024. They're doing all sorts of crazy things now. Chew, are we fooling ourselves by getting ourselves a little bit excited, intrigued? Ooh, maybe there's someone out there they could add that takes this team to the next level.
Yes and no. Cause I was thinking about it yesterday. I'm like, would Goody ever give up 2 first-round picks to get Max Crosby or Myles Garrett? No, but what kickstarted this whole thing? The whole thing, and I'm talking 30 years ago, kickstarted what the Packers are today. It was the signing of Reggie White.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean,
and it still reverbs down the line today. So if you look at it from that standpoint, because I agree with you, Gabe, if they land a Crosby or a Garrett, I think they're number one power ranked in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, because it's the one thing that they're missing. It's the one thing. Now, I doubt that that's possible. But at the same time, I don't think that the Vikings, at the end of their game on Thursday, as they were worrying about their left tackle potentially being out for the season, were thinking that they'd be able to go into the trade market and find a starting caliber left tackle the way that they did. And the Ravens are making moves to get better. The Chiefs have made moves. If we're interpreting, and I guess we can ask Adam Schefter when he joins us later, the actions of Dan Campbell jumping up and down at the podium, it seems that they're potentially close to making move. Contenders, the top teams, those other teams that I listed, we just did power rankings yesterday, the other top three teams and teams that are active at the trade deadline are all these teams that the Packers are trying to catch. So to me, if there's a deal out there that they can make and make it make sense, I think
even
they have
one?
To.
Even a big one?
I mean,
because here's the worry. Here's my worry, Gabe, and I'm sure this is Goody's worry. Their window has just opened up,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want that thing to close any more than it has to. You know, because the window will be open probably, I don't know. Windows are usually open, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah.
And you sign a Garrett, you take on a big contract, but then you got a flop on the other side in Rasheed,
Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, I'm shocked I forgot his name. You certainly
I am
don't
too.
Hear
We've talked about him a lot.
I mean, he's forgotten how to play, so you can forget his
yeah.
name. That's all fine.
But, I mean, that's another whack. Then you got to decide what to do with him. So I think Goody wants to keep that window open as long as possible. But when you're close, I think you do whatever you can to put yourself over the top.
So one of the explanations or defenses of going ahead and packaging a first-round pick, Gabe, and we have talked about this, is if that is such a glaring need, the defensive line, then they would probably spend a first-round pick, even if it is in the late 20s, because we expect the Packers to be successful, to be a playoff team, on that position. So why not just do it ahead of time? It's a sort of layaway, if you will, for the defensive line. Now, I don't know if you're going to get a great player because we keep mentioning Crosby and we keep mentioning Garrett, and those are obviously the premier, the elite, the creme de la creme of the position right now, and we don't think that either of those guys are going to be available. And it reminds me of the quote that Bill Polian told my husband Dario at ESPN all those years ago, just because you're thirsty for lemonade, don't bite a lemon. It's not the same thing. So unless Goody can go out there and get a top tier, I mean, you guys felt this way about Uche, who the Chiefs got. Gabe, you were very adamant about, like, well, I you give it the line. It's a brilliant line.
We already have a guy from Michigan with only 2 sacks in the season. I don't need another
there
one.
There it is. That's a good line. It's a good line. Yeah. So again, Uche to me would have been biting a lemon. Right? You're looking for lemonade.
Yeah,
you're so thirsty, you bite a lemon. So I don't know that there are any other players out there. Now, admittedly, I haven't done a deep dive on all of the defensive line players out there who could offer a pass rush that the Packers could potentially get. I trust that Goody and company do have a comprehensive list of that. Here's my question to you, Chu. Would you rather have your organization play it like the Packers potentially are, which is secret squirrel? Shh. Nobody knows. Quiet. Don't tell. Or the way the Lions are doing it, which is Dan Campbell jumping up and down at the podium, kind of giving everybody the idea that they're in on something. Which would you rather have?
I'd rather be the secret squirrel. You know, don't let anyone, don't show your cards to anybody. But I was going to ask you guys this, on a scale of 1 to 10, how upset would you be if Myles Garrett was traded to the Lions?
Very.
12.
I'd be beside myself.
Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? It's just like,
as celebratory as Joshy has been for the Jets' demise this season,
yep,
he would be on the other end of the spectrum upset if the Lions went ahead and bolstered that defense even more.
I don't know if I'm going to show up for work the next day if the Lions trade for Myles Garrett. Like, if they get Za'Darius Smith, which is, again, something that Shefty kind of hinted at last week when he joined us. Okay, the Packers can't be in on Za'Darius Smith for all of the reasons. I'm fine with that. That's okay. That makes a ton of sense. But if Myles Garrett is actually available, and that's the biggest hole you have on your roster, I mean, it depends upon what it goes for, what he would end up being traded for. But if he's actually available and you're not in on those and you don't outbid the Lions, because to me, Myles Garrett isn't a rental. Like, he's not a player you're mortgaging. Are you giving up a couple of first-round picks? Sure. But also, let's remember, the Packers have been the youngest team in the league the last 2 years. Like, how many roster spots do we actually expect to be available next year for the draft picks that they want to use? Right? Like, to me, if you are that young of a team and you're going to be carrying over and we're excited about all these young players that they have and they don't really have anybody up for contracts next year, not any real big free agents they have to worry about next year, like, spending a couple of first-round picks on the reigning defensive player of the year, to me, would be, and you don't do it, that would be egregious, and you'd be found derelict in your duties.
Yeah, we don't need another guy. They don't need to trade. We got plenty of guys, you know. We don't need another give up a fifth-round pick for Skeeter Lutz. You know, we need a splash player because you already have three players on the defense that are supposed to be A players playing like C players. Rashad Gary, Quay Walker, and Lucas Van Ness.
That's very generous. I'm not even sure if C is the accurate. I mean, Van Ness has four pressures all season long.
Yeah, Gabe, we're going to look at one on catch 22.
Oh, yeah, all 22.
Good heavens.
All 22.
Choo-choo Magoo. Choo-choo and Magoo.
Where it's hard for me to tell, but I'm pretty sure it's Lucas Van Ness being blocked in pass rush.
I can confirm it. He is stonewalled by the backup tight end.
By the backup tight end.
Yes.
And we're going to dissect that. It's just like, I'm like, this is a starting defensive end.
Luke Farrell's his name. A guy I've never heard of.
I mean, is that Wilson?
No.
Okay. Just thought I'd try to get some information and context on who Luke Farrell is.
So, Chu, you're saying they do need to upgrade. That sitting here and thinking that this guy is going to evolve into a difference maker, an elite type of player at that position, is maybe a little bit foolish at this point. 800-990-3776. We got callers on the line. We got reaction rolling in. Let's get to the callers first. Ainsley in Milwaukee, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do you expect the Packers to make a move at the trade deadline to bolster their defense?
I don't know if I'd say expect, but I really, really hope that they do. Do you guys think when it comes to Preston Smith and Lucas Van Ness, would we get more than a pack of gum if we traded them away and then grabbed a player that we wanted? I'm just thinking that because, no offense to Goody, but picks in rounds 2 through 5, he's gold. If we look at, like, the last 5 years as number one, you know, first-round pick, we might as well ship these two out, trade away a first-round pick, because you can't draft out of the first round anyways, and get more second- or third-round picks, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get much for... I mean, Preston Smith has more value than Van... Oh, I don't know, because Van Ness is still young. Maybe somebody thinks that they can do
Gabe,
something that they haven't.
He's got nothing. You watch this play, he's got no moves. He's got nothing.
But Coach, you know this. Coaches have egos, and there could be a coach going, oh, they just don't know how to coach him. Now, granted, you're not getting anything of value, you know, for either one of them. I mean, if you were to trade away Preston Smith, we're talking like conditional 6th or 7th round pick.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If they don't do anything, hi, Birdie. And scared me. And
birds are scary.
If they do not make a move, and with the 28th through 32nd pick next year, you can guarantee they're taking a D end.
Yep.
You can guarantee. And is that guy going to be good? I have no idea. You know who's good? You know who's good?
Miles Garrett.
Well, the other name I'm seeing.
So essentially, Jen, you're just giving up one first-round pick.
Yes,
for
yes,
him.
Yes. I
because
agree.
Because you're
going to
draft the DN with the first pick.
Very
so
likely, yes. 800-990-3776, reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, and, of course, on the YouTube page. You can always stream the show on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page as well. A lot of people are mentioning the name Trey Hendrickson. Okay, Trey Hendrickson, who is with the Cincinnati Bengals. Trey Hendrickson, who Joshy and I were determining, signed an extension with the team through 2025. And then in April of this year, requested a trade. He wants a long-term deal, as one does. And this is a guy who, let me read some of the comments. Trent weighing in saying, he's a poor man's Max Crosby, high motor every play. Top 10 in sacks in the league. Craig Moe says there's one bad team who has a player asking for a trade back in April. That's Trey Hendrickson. Past 3 seasons with double-digit sacks and 7 this year, they should go get him. What do you guys think of a Trey Hendrickson if you are unable to get a Max Crosby because he's not available or a Miles Garrett?
Chu, you seem to love the city of Cincinnati. You have any takes on a player from there?
Isn't he kind of old? Well,
third round pick in 2017.
I wouldn't necessarily. I mean, would he be old for the Packers?
Is
sure.
he creeping on 30?
Yeah,
he's 29.
Yeah.
That seems to qualify for creeping on 30.
I think he would still
coming up.
I would still think he's productive enough for the Packers to go get him. The problem is Cincinnati, just they don't give up. They hold on to players like that till the bitter end. Right, like we just saw the whole thing play out with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, who just kind of like Higgins wasn't going to show up, and then he just kind of went, "Well, this is the way it is in Cincinnati. I'll play under the franchise tag, and we'll figure it out next year." Like it just seems like they hold on to those guys forever, which is why I feel like I haven't seen his name pop up anywhere.
It feels like
in terms of trade deadline stuff.
It feels like people think he's just going to be a Lion. If there is a move
really?
To be made.
So
yes.
That is the move that Dan Campbell is jumping up and down at the podium about?
That's the one that everyone is... Because didn't he play for the Dolphins originally? And wasn't Dan Campbell there?
I think the Saints.
The Saints. Wherever it was, they have a history together. I mean...
Well, Dan Campbell was with the Saints.
Yeah, too, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
And the thing with Trent Hendry, he instantly becomes the best pass rusher. Like, the Packers are better. It's just, do you want to get in a bidding war with the Lions and have to outpay them? Because I imagine he's going to be probably the most effective pass rusher moved.
Goody's not going to overpay either. Goody ain't overpaying.
Correct.
Well,
he's
a bottom feeder. I'm glad that you bring that up, Chu, because yesterday as I was driving around, running my errands and doing my thing, I was thinking about that dynamic, the Goody dynamic. And Goody, I don't think the fight between him and Rodgers is ongoing in the way you might think, But I think they're keeping tabs on each other. I think Goody knows what's going on in New York the way that we know what's going on in New York. I think the quarterback in New York knows what's going on in Green Bay. And there was a part of me that wondered if that also wouldn't motivate a move for Goody. Just like, you left, we knew we could still be good because the G is bigger than any one player, no matter how many MVPs they have or, you know, what halls they will be in at the conclusion of their careers. And I wondered if Goody was like, I got to do this. I got to make it happen. I got to get them to the postseason. I got to go on a deep playoff run, and I got to do it to also show that all of the things I did, when everybody was saying that I didn't know what I was doing, I couldn't run a franchise, I was running the greatest guy to ever wear a Packers uniform out of town, and I was foolish, I got to continue showing that I do have my head screwed on straight. And I just wondered if that little voice might motivate him a little bit more to make that move, Gabe.
I think he would be more aggressive for Myles Garrett versus somebody like a Trey Hendrickson, who, while he would be under contract for next year, I don't think that he would overpay just to beat out the Lions for a guy that you could have for a year and a half.
You know? Would have to go.
What do you mean? I mean,
well, they got to get rid of someone if they're bringing someone in.
I mean,
you try and trade Van Ness. Do you trade
Preston Smith?
They're not. They can't get Preston Smith. You trade him
because he's. I mean, again, like somebody. I think Preston Smith is what he is, but he's a solid rotational player.
Yeah,
you know, like he's a solid rotational player. You're getting a conditional sixth round pick for him or whatever, but there is some actual value that somebody else would find in him.
I'll tell you this: Trey Hendrickson is exactly the type of player that would cause Dan Campbell to jump up and down at a podium, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I guess tea leaves and whatnot, writing on the wall and whatnot, it does feel like that would be the perfect fit. So I am also like, please, for the love of everything holy, Goody, do not allow that to happen.
One name I also keep seeing pop up,
but Gabe, to that point, to Jen's point, Green Bay would have to overpay because my guess is the relationship with Hendrickson and Campbell. He's going to want to go to Detroit.
You think Cincinnati cares where anyone wants to go?
No, I'm saying the players.
Or is Cincinnati going to trade him to the highest bidder?
Well, they're going to trade to the highest bidder, but I'm sure he wants to go back and play for Campbell more
sure,
so.
But he doesn't have any leverage in this situation.
No, not really.
You know, I don't think he's the type of player that can kind of dictate where he ends up the way Devontae dictated where he ended up going.
800-990-3776. Very interesting times. As I said at the beginning of the segment, this is not something that we typically pay attention to. The joke that Jason Wilde made is that Mike McCarthy didn't even know when the trade deadline was. Oh, I thought that was next week. But now we are paying attention because the Packers are contenders. And as Gabe said, the contenders in the league, guys, they're making moves. They're taking advantage of this tool in their tool belt and getting their teams better. And it just remains to be seen if the Packers will follow suit. 800-990-3776. Get us your reaction all morning long. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Chewy, jump on it. Jump on it. Jump on it. Slow down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Ditch the random channel surfing with your remote. Grab your phone and open the ESPN app with their new Where to Watch feature because it's a game changer. With so many games going on, the ESPN app is your answer for what channel, what app, or what stream to get to. Want to know where the Bucks are tipping off on a Thursday night? Boom, ESPN app. Need the channel for Sunday's green and gold game? Boom. You know the answer. It's the ESPN app's Where to Watch tab. Say goodbye to frustration and hello to watching sports. Download the ESPN app from your app store and find the Where to Watch TV icon.
We've got the gambling show weekly wager tonight at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Sportsbook. Me, Greg, and Ben will break down the best bets of the week. And if you're looking for action on Myles Garrett to the Green Bay Packers, well, you won't find it at Pottawatomie, but there are places out there that are giving you odds on where Myles Garrett will go. And one of those has the betting odds for Garrett's next team as the Green Bay Packers -110. They are the favorite, the betting favorite for this certain sports book. I don't really know how you come up with that.
Doesn't feel right about that.
I don't even know like where you get that from. You have like people who tell you like what conversations might be taking place, and therefore you can handicap a situation like that.
I can give you the answer.
Oh, I love that.
Sportsbooks like that use those as marketing arms. And what they do is they track the bigger fan bases and say, yeah, hey, a lot of Packers fans out there will probably share this, so therefore ours will go up. They're not all totally just made up, per se, because some of them have had, like, remember Julius Peppers was a favorite to be a Packer, and everyone's like, what the heck's going on here? And then all of a sudden he was in Lambeau Field the next day, and you're like, what the? Some of it does have validity, but this one feels kind of like we just want to get a name out there.
Chew, what would you be willing to give up for Myles Garrett?
Everything.
2-1.
Joshy's like, I got a kidney. I'll risk my back.
I will risk it all for Garrett.
Let me ask you this. If it's not two ones and it's one and a player, who would that player be?
You'd have to give up a pretty significant player.
Yeah.
And I'm not, wouldn't want to do that. Nope.
Quay?
I wouldn't want to give up any other player. The future picks is fine.
You got Wilson, who's playing very well, actually playing probably better than Quay.
He's playing better against the run.
You wouldn't give up a first round in Quay Walker for Myles Garrett.
I feel like they wouldn't accept that.
You don't even like Quay Walker.
I don't, but I don't feel like that's a realistic trade. Like somebody on the talking text line you were telling me during the break, Jen, said, hey, let's trade Lucas Van Ness for Trey Hendrickson.
Just a player swap.
Straight up.
So there's nobody? There's nobody.
No, I would, but I just don't feel like, I feel like anybody that it would actually take to get it done, I wouldn't be willing to part
with. I'll give you another one. And let's not forget that Cleveland, I know they're in a rebuild, but they sent, who is the receiver from
Amari
Dallas,
Cooper.
The Buffalo? Amari Cooper. What about Christian Watson in a first round pick?
I mean, I would. I wouldn't feel great about it. I'd feel better if I traded for two firsts.
Do you want Myles Garrett or not?
Look, but here's the thing, Chew. The future first round pick probably has more value right now in most teams' mind than Christian Watson. Because if you were to trade Christian Watson right now, you're not getting a first round pick in return.
Yeah.
So, like, you would even have to go higher.
Myles Garrett, Gabe, is Myles Garrett worth two first round picks?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Without a doubt. Because again, it's the youngest team in the league. They don't have a lot of openings across.
You're talking about like roster spots when you say openings across.
Yeah. So openings across the board. There's just not a lot of open roster spots. Like one spot you would have open, you'd be closing by getting a premier defensive pass rusher. But, so to me, it's 100% worth giving up two first-round picks, even though, because again, yes, it would sting to host the draft at Lambeau Field and not have a first-round pick in April. But you know what would be really cool? Parading the Lombardi around to everybody during the draft.
That'd be pretty cool. But we will know, if this isn't done by Sunday, and Crosby and Garrett play Sunday, they're not going anywhere.
I feel Crosby's already off the board just based on what Mark Davis said, their owner, that they're never trading him. The Browns haven't said anything like that about Myles Garrett, but again, I feel like it's just fantasy.
I can't trust that guy with that haircut.
It's true.
Oh, he's got great hair. I love his hair. I wish I had his hair.
No, you don't. You could have his hair.
I think if you're a dork and you lean into it, it makes you cooler.
Is that what you think he's doing?
Yeah. Have you seen his haircut?
I have, but you're giving him an awful lot of credit is what I'm saying.
Yes, I am.
I think it's one of those you get what you get and you don't throw a fit things. I think it's more he's resigned to this is as good as it gets. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Adam Schefter coming up next. Who better to give us more insight on the trade deadline and if the Green Bay Packers are legitimately in the mix or not than Adam Schefter? He's next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Initially, I was told from the jump, 3 to 4 weeks. I was told initially that the games that were most likely for him to come back were either the Vikings in week 4 or the Rams in week 5.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. 2 golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
Who better to have a little chit-chat with than Adam Schefter as we get ourselves all worked up about the possibility of Green Bay being involved in a move at the trade deadline. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
We're good. We're good. We are seeing some things from other teams, particularly in the division, that are making us, the collective, a little bit nervous. So you got Minnesota making a move for an offensive lineman to fill a need there. You got Dan Campbell jumping up and down behind the podium about them potentially making a move. A lot of people are saying maybe they're in the market for Hendrickson from Cleveland. And you got the Packers with, well, proverbial tumbleweeds, which is not unusual for the Green Bay Packers. Adam, are you hearing the green and gold being involved in any potential trade conversations?
I have not heard anything specifically, but I would say this. I didn't hear anything last year when all of a sudden Rasul Douglas was shipped out to Buffalo. So things happen. It's not like these things are being advertised. And you mentioned Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson, Cincinnati. I don't think the Bengals would trade Trey Hendrickson, although if they lost this week, you'd have to take a look at everything, because I think all the games up to the trade deadline influence whether a team is a buyer or a seller. And then Cleveland would be looking to deal Za'Darius Smith, and I've felt all along that Za'Darius Smith was a candidate for Detroit. And when I see Dan Campbell jumping up and down, I just think that they're going to be players in Za'Darius Smith. Now, I also will say, and we're just about at the end of it, it's Wednesday. It's unusual, but not unprecedented, but it's unusual to see trades made later in the week. As true, we know, like, the teams are going back to practice today. They're putting in the game plans. You don't usually typically see trades made on Thursday or Friday. Like, it just doesn't happen, by and large, usually. The trades that happen come on Mondays and Tuesdays. That's when they get made. And the trade deadline is Tuesday, 3 Central, 4 Eastern. And I would imagine there'll be more moves, although I think we've seen the majority of big-name moves already, I think. Every time I say that because I want it to be that way. I want it to just be left alone and, like, just have to buy it finally. And every time I think that way, it's not. And it just goes crazy. But, I mean, we've already had Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, Deontay Johnson, like, all traded. Like, how many more big trades you want?
Well, one for the Packers.
Preferably one more, Adam. Like, if you're going to ask the question, yeah. Preferably
what
one
do you
more.
Want? What do you want? What do you want?
Miles Garrett?
Well, we want it. Yeah, no, we want it. The end. But Adam.
Well, look, I understand. Adam, I understand it's not happening.
Wait.
But you asked me what I wanted.
Wait, why is it not happening?
Jen asked about you, Debbie, and Clash. Jen asked about Jadeveon Clowney last week. I don't think he's generated much of any interest at all. Continue on. Who else you want?
Oh, this is fun. We just wish list. This
Max
is like
Crosby, they were talking. Not happening.
No chance.
What about this Azeez Ojulari from New York? I keep seeing his name pop up in different trade pieces.
Well, he's really good, except what I would say there is you have a Giants GM and head coach that are fighting to keep their jobs. Like, you think they want to go trade away a good pass rusher for draft picks that they may not even be able to make, you know, like, I don't know. And he's been good. Mm-hmm. And Kayvon Thibodeau is out. So, okay, you're the Giants and you're trying to win over more support. And I know the owner came out last week and said that they're safe, but he said the same thing in 2017 and fired Ben McAdoo 2 weeks later. And he said the same thing in 2021 and fired Joe Judge 2 weeks later. So, I appreciate that he's saying that they're safe, and he said, I don't anticipate making changes next year. I don't anticipate making changes in the offseason. Anticipate is a word that I think leaves some room for change of heart. So if you're the Giants, do you want to go trade Azeez Ojulari, who's been really good, when your other top pass rusher, Kayvon Thibodeau, is on IR? I don't see it, but have at it.
Adam, I saw your report earlier this week in regards to Jordan Love's availability on Sunday. As cautious our teams are today with injuries like that, do you still believe there's a pretty good chance he's going to play this weekend?
Look, again, it's Wednesday. I'm going to guess. I don't know this. He's going to be limited today, limited tomorrow, limited Friday, questionable, and then my guess is he plays. That's how I see this going in, and let's see how it plays out. But
I know they have the bye next week, so they obviously, if they rest him, they would get 2 weeks for Jordan Love, and Malik Willis has played well. So that would be an option, and let's see how he feels during the week. But my guess, not a report, my guess, reading between the lines, it sounds like everybody was pretty relieved at the way the testing came out. It sounds like everybody was relieved it wasn't worse than it was. And it sounds like he's going to have a realistic chance to play on Sunday. Now, whether he will or not, we'll see this week. But I could say with confidence he's going to have a realistic chance to play on Sunday.
Adam, do you think part of the reason that the NFL trade deadline is now a thing is because teams and GMs don't value draft picks like they used to? I mean, they still value them, and they're still obviously a very good tool, but they don't value them the way they once did.
No, that's not what it is. I don't believe that, Gabe. I think what it is that we've got a newer, younger breed of general managers. We've got a younger, newer breed of general managers who are not afraid of making trades. We've got a younger, newer breed of general managers who have made trades that have worked out and helped them win Super Bowls. And other teams see this and like, oh, so we can make trades? So it's not taboo to do that? Because back when Chewy played, front offices did not like making trades. Like, everybody was very apprehensive. You might get 2 or 3 trades maybe in a given year. And now you get 2-3 trades a week in the 4 or 5 weeks leading up to the trade deadline, it seems like. So, no, because GMs still value draft picks as much as they value anything. It's just that the mindset around them has shifted.
Yeah, some of it was the perception that it would take a player too long to kind of catch up to the team they were joining, right? Has there been a change like across the league where that's not an issue anymore, Adam?
I mean, that was a part of, like you say, is it worth giving up this pick for a player when he might not learn this? Like, that'd be a part of it, Jen. But I think any sort of stereotypes that existed, any preconceived notions that existed, have kind of been shattered. And we've seen guys who have been traded have roles and make impacts and be difference makers on the way to big wins.
We pay a lot of attention, obviously, to the NFC, Adam, but obviously the AFC has been making moves. And Gabe was noting how the teams who are above the Packers in the power rankings on ESPN.com have made moves. Given what the two teams have done, the Ravens and the Chiefs, who do you think is closer now after these moves to representing the AFC in the Super Bowl?
Well, those power rankings mean so much at this time, especially.
We know you're a big power ranking guy.
Huge power rankings, love them. Chewy also giving his endorsement of the power rankings.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing that means less to me than power rankings. Zero.
You guys were fine this week, Adam. You guys were okay. I don't have any problems.
Power rankings. Yeah, here we go. What I would say is, to me, Kansas City, what's amazing is the Chiefs are unbeaten. They're 7-0, and Patrick Mahomes is tied for the league lead in interceptions. Like, they have not played great. And the Ravens are coming off a loss against Cleveland, but I still think the Ravens are formidable. And these things change week to week. Buffalo's coming off a very impressive win in Seattle. So Buffalo, obviously, is going to be right up there. And, I mean, you tell me who's going to challenge Buffalo to win the AFC. So Buffalo is going to win that division, right? To me, the two best teams in the West are the Chiefs and Ravens. Mm-hmm. And I think Bills and Texans are right there. And by the way, I think any of those four teams are good enough to win when all is on the line.
Adam, will Aaron Rodgers be playing football next year? And if so, is there a chance he's in a different uniform?
Interesting. I'll just say this. When I watch him this year, he looks like a guy that says to me, what am I doing? Like, what do I need this for? That's what it looks like to me. And that, obviously, the more they lose will become more and more of a conversation. But he just looks like a guy who, like, when he put his towel over his head, like, I see him. I'm just imagining this. Nobody said this to me. But, like, man, I'm over 40 years old. It takes so much to do this. It's a big commitment and toll. I got more money than I ever need. The hell do I need to sit out in the rain and get my ass beat up like this, a crappy football team? Like that's how I feel. Like, what's, if we gave him truth syrup, that's what would be going through his mind. The season has looked like it sucked some of his spirit from him, which has been the case for many players who have come through that organization in recent seasons. And it looks like it's taken a mental toll. Could he play next year somewhere else? Conceivably, yeah. His contract's up after this year, I believe, right? Like, this, he's a free agent after this year?
No, I think he still has a year left on the deal, because he had talked about, they had like redone the deal, and he talked about playing more than just this year. I believe he's got 1 year left on the deal.
I have to look at that, but I'm going to enter it in. But I would say probably now is not a great time for him to answer that question, because if you were to answer the question now, I think it might have a certain lean. But there's still, mm-hmm. Nine, 10 games to go. Let's see how the season plays out. But to me, so far, the season looks like it has sucked from life from him.
He might have new life at him. He found the fountain of youth. Cayenne pepper and water is his new elixir. Have you ever thought of trying any of these little elixirs like cayenne pepper and water for the fountain of youth?
No.
Like, he's not a big fan of pot hole.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. I'm into, you know, trying all these things like that could help. And I think it's interesting. Like, I pause. And obviously, he must be getting some benefit of it. I'm not dismissing that. And maybe I do. Wait, so you put pepper in your water? Like,
cayenne pepper, cayenne apparently. Pepper. Yes, cayenne pepper in water. Apparently, that's what Thomas Morstead told him.
So he feels better, right? But he's not playing better.
That is an important distinction, Adam. Yes. I appreciate you being the one to highlight that for us. Yes, he does feel better. The play, not so much. Can I just read you something to you, Adam? Joshy puts our show sheet together. It's all the stories and the things that we want to make sure that we get to throughout the two-hour show here. And he wrote for this one, Fountain of Youth. This is just sad stuff coming from Aaron Rodgers, and not the first time he has talked about finding a fountain of youth, because clearly he feels old, slow, and ineffective. That's Joshy's editorializing on the old show sheet, which I, for one, appreciate.
Well, again, like, it just, you know, when you're not winning, like, the seasons become long and hard and trying. And if they were winning, which they're not, you know, I think he'd have a little bit more life and energy no matter how much cayenne pepper he was or wasn't taking in. So it's just, you know, when you go through those seasons, I don't know how many of them you had, Chewy, like, and look, I didn't play, but I covered a couple of really bad teams. Those seasons, they're no fun for anybody. They're just really unenjoyable. And that's the thing. They've lost. The Jets have lost, I believe, 5 straight games. He doesn't look like he's having any fun right now. You know, and it's not. And nobody's having fun when you're not winning.
Adam, last thing before we let you go. Yes, you're 100% correct. I covered a couple of Bears squads pretty closely, and that was a long stretch there. Anthony Richardson. Yesterday, it's announced that he is being benched. They are handing the keys over to Joe Flacco, who has, obviously, we all have eyes, played better. But people can't help but connect the "he was tired" comments. And I even saw a lot of people saying, in that instance, you should lie. Lie your face off. Don't you dare tell people that the reason that you pulled yourself out of a game is because you were fatigued.
I'm pretty tired.
I think I'll go home now, Forrest. What do you make of this whole situation? It sounds like they're not done with him, but it certainly was a bad look for the young QB.
Oh, I still, again, there are some things, and I talked about it on my podcast this week. There are certain things that I call stickers that stick to you and follow you throughout the course of your career. And this was a weekend of stickers. We had Anthony Richardson tapping out and admitting, saying openly, "I was tired." We have Tyreek Stevenson, speaking of the Bears, with a sticker where he's taunting Bears fans. Mm-hmm. And no matter how well he plays, it will always follow him that he was taunting Bears fans, then took the wrong angle to run into the play to deflect the football. Actually deflect the football. The guy taunting the fans that winds up in the hands of Noah Brown. Like, he's got to make a lot of good plays for a long period of time in some big moments for Bears fans to ever kind of move past that one. And I think when Anthony Richardson pulls himself out, like, you could have said, you know, I had a cramp. I had, you know, I was my shoulder, I felt a pinch. My contact lens, I said, like, you don't wear contact. Well, I was wearing contact lenses that day, and there was something in there. Like, you could come up with a lot of things. What you don't say is, I was tired. I've never, in my 35-plus years of covering football, ever seen a quarterback tap out. I've seen quarterbacks keel over. I've seen them play it out. I've seen quarterbacks throw up. I've seen quarterbacks be gassed. I've never seen a quarterback pull himself out and then openly admit in a self-inflicted wound, I was tired. Like,
because what happened? What happens, Adam, is you can lose the fans, and that's fine. But once you lose your teammates, that's tough to get back, man. You know, teammates sitting there going, hey, we got a chance to win the game, and you pull yourself out because you're tired? Are you kidding me? Guys don't want to play for guys like that, you know? They want to play for Favre. They want to play for Rodgers. They want to play for guys that put it on the line, not that are all about themselves. I give him a pass because he's young, but he's got to grow up, man, if he's going to.
Well, that may be the biggest thing. That may be the biggest thing. Like, he's supposed to be a good kid, but I think he's young, he's immature, and that is a
– yeah.
That is a great example of learning. Like, he's what is he, 23 years old, right? I mean
– yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We all do – you know, we all make decisions at 23 that you wish you could – you know, redo. And so it was a bad decision. But to my point, bad as it was, young as he is, it's going to follow him for a little while now. It just is.
Yeah.
The stick. You're right. Right?
It's weird the things that stick, but you want to know what jumped to my mind as soon as you said it was Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. For whatever reason, for as long as Sam Darnold plays.
Yes, Jen, and you're right. That was a sticker kind of thing. But that shows you how long it takes where you can begin to kind of move past that and get people free. Yes, it's a sticker, but yes, you're also looking at Sam Darnold now as a guy who's moved past that, overcome it, grown, and now could be the comeback player of the year on a playoff team, playing really well on an expiring contract, could do really well in free agent. So he's gotten past it. But how long ago was that? 5 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, a
couple
in
different
Jets
teams.
Uniform, I know that.
A couple different teams since then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend. Next week when we talk, we'll see who the president of the United States is. How about that?
Oh,
maybe we'll know. Maybe.
Oh, very good.
I mean, it's a fair statement. It's just, did you have to go so apocalyptic this morning?
Just saying.
You can hear Adam Schefter on a number of ESPN programs, see him on your television all day long, and of course, follow him on Twitter, X, at Adam Schefter. Gabe?
Adam is brought to us each and every week by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like it's, and everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every aspect of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. So we talked with Adam Schefter there about Anthony Richardson and what is going on with the Colts. And in case you missed it, he has been benched. The young quarterback has been benched. You know, some of it is probably performance related, right, Gabe? I mean, he has not been great. But he's also a young quarterback. He dealt with the injury, so he really hasn't had extended time, doesn't have a lot of reps under his belt. But we can't help but connect the dots, and him saying that he was tired on Sunday, and that's why he removed himself from the game, it's a really bad look. And I understand vulnerability. I understand authenticity and all of these things that we want from athletes and from the people we interact with. But the general sentiment here is that he should have fibbed. He should have lied.
No,
he should not have said what really put him out of the game.
100%. And Chewy nailed this. It's not about who cares what the media says, who cares what the fans say. Like, he's being benched because he said that, because his teammates don't respect him anymore. Because Chewy, how can you? Like, everybody knows the general rules of the NFL. If you are healthy, all five offensive linemen play, the quarterback plays. Those guys don't rotate in and out, I guess, unless you're the Packers and you rotate some of those offensive line positions because you don't know who's good and who's not. But like those guys are always on the field. You're not getting rotated out. That's just the way it goes. You're the leader of the team. You have to be out there. And on a crucial third down play, you said, yeah, I tapped out because I was tired. Like, if you heard a teammate say that, if you heard Brett say that, what would your reaction be?
Yeah, I'd be like, are you kidding me? I mean, this is the NFL. You should be in shape, you know? And during the season, you don't condition. I don't know whether... fans think you do. You don't. Conditioning, you're on your own when it comes to conditioning. So that's why you see guys after practice, before they go home, they'll jump on the treadmill, they'll jump on an elliptical, whatever they can do to get that little extra work in to make sure you have win. It's just, it's bad. And I'm trying to think of an instance, and I really can't, where a player just, well, Jason brings it up all the time. And the funny thing is, we didn't even know at the time with Gabe Wilkins.
Yeah.
You know? Gabe Wilkins in the Super Bowl took a dive. Now, the defense did not play really well that day. And I don't know if Gabe would have made the difference where we win the game. But that burns me now. It burns me to the point where I think more about the loss in Super Bowl 32 than the win I do in Super Bowl 31. You know? And it's weird because it must be the way we are conditioned as players to always go to the negative. Because when we watch film, you don't praise, oh, good catch, run it again. You blow over it and you're like, you correct the bad stuff and move on. And Super Bowl 32 was bad stuff. Bad stuff when you're 12-point favorites.
So the other flip side of this thing, though, is what I mentioned about vulnerability and accountability. I want to be very careful because we continue to tell athletes that they need to be more conscious of their mental health. We continue to tell athletes that it's okay to not be okay. We continue to tell athletes, like, we need to keep moving in a direction where you are not playing through things that can cause long-lasting negative effects on your mental health. And I'm not saying that's what this is, but I do think we have to thread a needle of, if he was tired, and again, we're thinking fatigue, tired, whatever, mm-hmm. like, we're saying now, you should have lied about that. Isn't that sending mixed messages? Isn't that sending, like, again, we're telling guys to lean into when they're struggling, when they, and again, I want to be very clear on this. I don't think he should have been tired. I think part of being a top tier quarterback mm-hmm. in the NFL is you put in the work so that you can handle the mental and physical toil of doing that job each and every week, especially during the season. That's the mistake he made. It makes me uncomfortable to hear people saying he should have lied about it. That, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's sending mixed messages because now we're saying, you can't say that out loud. You can't say that out loud. But we're telling guys, like, when you're not well and you need a breather or a blow or a break, you're supposed to be comfortable saying it. It feels a little talking out of both sides of the mouth here. Do you guys hear what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I understand. Yeah, but at the same time, like, this is, again, like, this is part of the job, like you said. Like, he just admitted to me, he said out loud, I was not prepared for my job.
Totally agree.
And so now there are repercussions to that, right? You lose the respect of your teammates, you lose the respect of your peers, you lose your starting job.
And I'm fine with that. Honestly, I am. I think there should be ramifications, consequences for messing up. Ask my kid. He knows.
Yeah. See, Jen, lying You can fool the fans and you can fool the media. You're not going to fool the locker room because the locker room finds out about everything, you know. You find out about everything. You find out, hey, do you hear George Koontz was wearing pantyhose in the game? You know, you hear everything. It's like a bunch of little six-year-olds in sixth grade, you know?
Would it have been better, though, again, because we're talking about sort of massaging a message, would it have been better for him to say, Gabe, what we both are saying he was saying, I wasn't physically prepared for the game. Like, does that sound better than him kind of just flippantly saying and admitting that he was tired?
Sure, but like Chewy said, like because it's probably at the point where even if he stepped up to the podium and lied, the locker room knows. The locker room knows he tapped out because he was tired, not because he was hurt. Because the second he got to the sideline, he probably said to his positional coach, offensive coordinator, whomever, yeah, I'm just tired. And that is going to get through the locker room.
See, Jen, and I bring up the Sterling thing the night before we're played Minnesota in the opener, and he kicks all the coaches out and tells us, you know, that he's not going to play and he gets a new contract. That was it for me. That was it. I don't want to play with this guy.
So what would it take for a guy like Richardson to recover from this, Chew?
New team?
Apologize. No, apologize to the team and say, because you do. Like Adam said, you're 23, you do stupid things, you make mistakes. He needs to grow up. He needs to grow up. And I would probably blame a little bit on the coach. But you have to understand that coaching today is much different than when I played. And even talking to my son, who's been in the biz not long, like 8 years or so, he's like, guys that are coaches in their 50s are hanging it up. They don't want to coach anymore because they can't coach the way they want to coach because these players are so soft and you got to coddle them and you can't yell at them. He's like, I can't do that. You know, and you're seeing it with Tony Bennett. You're seeing it with not so much Saban, but Saban's older. It's just like, I can't do this anymore.
It's funny that you mentioned Saban, though,
too. It is so much different.
And you're right. Saban has acknowledged that. I told you I feel very lucky that I sit in those production meetings with him. He says the keys to coaching nowadays are what to do, how to do it, and why it's important to do it that way. You have to articulate to these athletes the why. Because just saying this is what we're doing isn't sufficient for them. They want to know why I have to run the route this way. So he says, if you're not doing that, you're losing them. So you're right on that. We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So much more to get to in the second hour of the show. Stick around.